The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Screen Time presenter John Fardy in the latest edition of our series Boxed is going to talk about Dopesick, which I've seen. So tell us more.
Yeah, so this is based on a book of the same name. You know, most people know there was and is to a large extent still an opiate crisis in America. And a lot of people put the blame at one. There are a couple of companies involved to give one company the benefit of the doubt. But the main purveyors of opiates in America, certainly in the late 90s and early noughties, were Purdue Pharma, who a lot of people may have heard of. And they came up with something called OxyContin. I kept going to call it OxyContin. I always thought it was OxyContin, but it's OxyContin, which is an opioid.
And now, the interesting aspect of this plot is, and it harks back to Valium and Librium.
Yes.
Explain that connection, because it explains how they came up with this new chemical, which wasn't that new.
No, exactly. You see, the Sackler family have been in medicine for a long time. And in a generation previously, back in the late 50s, early 60s, the granddaddy of the family went to Congress to basically get Valium across the line and say that there was a heightened state of anxiety that their drug for the Roche company at the time could treat. So this was in their wheelhouse. So what Purdue did was they took an opiate and they claimed, and this was true to a certain extent, that it had a 12-hour release period.
Yeah.
So the high slowly comes as opposed to an instant hit. And through nefarious language and fiddling around with that slow release process, they claimed, and it is very much a claim, and this is without question, that it was non-addictive. Yeah. And as we've seen on the streets of middle America, nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah. The idea being that you had a 12-hour slow release drug, and there are lots of drugs for your tummy or whatever else that are slow release, but the idea was that this was an opioid that they already had, which was running out of patent.
Yes.
So therefore, by having this new version of it, they could have a new patent.
Yeah, and the as you rightly point out, I should have said the drug had been there for a long time and was already on the shelves under different guises, but they just changed the hardware around it. They changed the fence around it, but the drug was completely the same and as dangerous as ever. And they knew that. Now, that's all true. But what they do in Dopesick, and they do brilliantly, is they tell this story with three different strands. You have Michael Keaton, who is a fictionalized version of many doctors around America, who's in Appalachia, in this small mining town. And he starts prescribing it, and they're sending him on holidays and nice conferences and stuff like that. And he thinks this is great. And there's a salesman played by Willie Poulter showing up to his office, trying to get him to sell more. And he starts prescribing it, but then he realizes a lot of the people he's treating are getting addicted to this. And what is very factual is there are queues around the corner for pharmacies in these middle American towns. And he starts to question what's going on. Now, the real interesting thing, and this happened to lots of doctors apparently in America, is, and I don't want to give a spoiler, he subsequently gets addicted.
Yeah.
And when I say a career high, Michael Keaton is, you know, he was Batman. He played America's Everyman. He's a brilliant actor. This is a career high because it's very unassuming. He's this well-intentioned doctor who becomes this twitching mess, and it's a brilliant performance. The Emmys are in a couple of weeks. I think he's going to take home Best Actor in a Drama.
Now, you have a couple of clips for us. Let's hear the first. What's this about?
Is Michael Keaton realizing that all is not well in the garden, and he's a chat with his salesman.
Let me ask you something, Bill. You ever think that maybe that miracle drug you're selling is just, you know, just a tad more addictive than you said?
That's not what we're hearing. But there is a condition associated with this, which I have some information on. I can share with you. Pseudo-addiction. We're seeing some cases, although rare, where they show the symptoms of addiction, but in reality, their underlying pain hasn't been sufficiently addressed. And the solution is simple. You know, you up the dose, and their symptoms, you know, disappear in time.
It's so poison, Billy.
What's that?
That's all this is. So poison. That's what you do. That's just poison.
just a poison.
Yeah.
And the key there was that people got oxy for their pain,
yeah,
and then they became addicted and they doubled and trebled and quadrupled the dose.
At the end, they were talking about having a pill, and it went into production, as far as I know, of 160 milligrams in one pill. I mean, that is, you know, I don't know what to compare it to, but that is a huge injection of opiate.
You mentioned there are three kind of parallel narratives. What are the other two then?
Well, the fascinating one, the one that really gripped me and I thought was really well done, is you have these two state's prosecutors going after the Sackler family, and they are dogged in the determination to get them. And I was saying to you off air, reminded me a bit of All the President's Men, that great movie, where in theory you have these two journalists checking their notes and trying to figure out what's going on in Watergate, and it sounds kind of boring, yet it's hypnotic and suspenseful when they're even checking documents. In the same way, you have these two guys in Dopesick checking emails, making phone calls, dogged determined detective work. That's spine tingling at times, because stuff is coming back to them, like they meet former employees who are looking out their windows terrified that someone's following them. And I read a bit of the book about it. That did happen to a certain extent, you know.
Now you have another clip. What's this?
Yeah. So the third strand, and it'll lead on to this, is the actual Sackler family itself. And they are played, and it has to be says, cartoonishly villainous in this version of it. They are real villains, but I think the jury would agree the Sackler family are villains. And there's a bit of wish fulfillment in Dopesick. They haven't paid the price a lot of people hoped they would. People from the Sackler family haven't gone to jail. They have had to pay a huge amount of money. This is a clip where they realise the dogs are, dogs don't come home to roost. Ducks come home
chickens.
The chickens come home to roost. Something's coming home to roost. Have a listen to this.
Why are you telling me all this?
So that you understand they cannot be bought. They cannot be pushed off the case. They will not be seeking our employment when they leave office, like the U.S. attorney in Maine. And it is very likely that they will soon subpoena Purdue's internal documents to make a major case against us.
The damage a U.S. attorney can do for a company like us is staggering. They can fine us to death.
And they can bring criminal charges against individuals.
You think that's possible?
It's not possible. It's likely.
These people in Appalachia are very angry, and now their U.S. attorney is coming for us.
We're going to hire Rudy Giuliani, and he'll be able to lobby high up in the chain of the Justice Department and the White House. But eventually, there will be a price to pay. From this point on, you need to do everything you can to reduce personal liability.
It's very possible people are going to prison.
But not yet.
No.
Not yet.
And the Sackler family, what is happening though is they had to pay $4.5 billion, and then they were granted immunity from any further prosecution. But a judge in December said, so there still could be more cases. But the crime, or the court of public opinion, has certainly changed. There have been all sorts of protests in like art galleries in New York where they've paid for wings and stuff like that, and people, you know, throwing buckets of blood at stuff. So their name is mud.
This text from Owen: Red Empire of Pain on holidays. Yeah. Subscribe to Disney just to watch the other side of addiction stories for Dopesick. It was fantastic, which I would echo.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there is a documentary. Not that I'm saying you need to watch something else as well, but just in case you think this is, you know, there are fictions in it, but the moral centre of this is completely accurate. There's a documentary by the great documentary maker Alex Gibney, Crime of the Century. It's a two-parter, and it shows you this all happened, and it's pretty horrific.
Yeah, and one of the people in the FDA who certified the drug and allowed the non-addiction label to go on it, he ended up working for the Sacklers.
And it was riddled with all those kind of things. Absolutely riddled. Like, we don't have time. We didn't even get into these bizarre bonus schemes the salespeople would get. Holidays, if they could up the dosage to doctors. It was horrific stuff. It really was.
So, John, what have you got on screen time this week?
Well, I have all the usual movie reviews and interviews and stuff like that. But the thing I'm most excited about is, I do a thing every week where I talk to someone about their favourite movie. Even people in this room have done it. Mm-hmm. Ray Houghton is doing that with me this week, which I'm most excited about.
Very good. All to look forward to. Screen Time, available on air Saturdays between 6 and 7, and available as a podcast Fridays from 5. John Fardy, presenter of Screen Time, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.